So we're cultivating, developing mindfulness, and it's part of the mindfulness is a subset of the human capacity for attention. And attention, we pay attention many different ways, but one of the common denominator of attention, clear attention, is that we're in the present moment with our experience. There's a heightened awareness, attention, knowing, perception of what's happening in the present moment. And it's somewhat rare for human beings to be in the present moment, or if they are in the present moment, it's rare to be present in some high quality way, with clear seeing, clear mind, that's not obscured by judgments, reactions, fantasies, of what's happening. And so we're cultivating this attentional quality, capacity, to be present here. And it becomes a doorway into deeper and deeper experience of life and of ourselves that is not available if we are not fully here in a clear way. And I like to think of this as kind of like a, maybe a little bit like a funnel, one end of the hourglass is all the vast universes we can go into with our thoughts, and past, future, fantasy, commentary, judgments, planning, all kinds of things. And as we start settling down and relaxing the mind, it can be more and more in the present moment. Initially, the present moment might seem very, very small, and you kind of come into some very small, the narrow end of the hourglass. But as we really come into the present moment fuller and fuller, it opens up again, and actually the universe is actually wider, bigger than you ever could have imagined. In the present moment opens up in a deep way, and some of the most greatest capacities we have as a human being exist there in this wide universe, this wide end of the hourglass that opens up in the present moment. So it's a training then to come into the present. And we do it on retreat. Ideally, we do it in all the activities we do. We're constantly coming back to being here with this, whether it's serving ourselves food or sitting down and eating our food or washing dishes or if it's taking a shower or whatever we're doing, having a cup of tea. It's just like we use it as a place to keep coming back. Be just with this simple experience. Notice if the mind goes off and come back. So one of the ways we do it, one of the important areas where we refine this ability, develop this ability, is with walking meditation. And since the time of the Buddha, and probably in India before that, there was a practice of doing meditation while walking. And you'll find monasteries in Asia where they have built halls. Actually, Spirit Rock has this. We have done that here, right? We have a walking hall there, where they build places to just specifically for walking. And some people associate meditation with sitting, the sitting meditation, the sitting posture. And it seems kind of foreign that you would meditate while you're walking. But it's a time-honored practice. You can go just as deep or as far or mature as much in the practice in walking as you can in sitting. On retreat, it's very important to alternate between the two, sitting and walking, because the two together work, complement each other to bring it into a variety of factors into balance. If you only sat all day, the tendency is to get lethargic. If you only walked all day, it tends to be a little bit too energizing over time and tends to be a little more agitating. But the balance of going back and forth between the more calming sitting and a little bit more energetic walking creates a nice balance between energy and relaxation, which they need to be together. Other factors come into balance as well. Depends on the individual. Some people find that walking is a time where they tend to get more concentrated than they do in sitting. Some other people find they tend to get more concentrated in sitting than in walking. And some people feel like they develop neither in both. but you do, just to hang in there. It kind of comes along. But they work together in a very nice way. The the walking meditation for a fair number of people is an acquired taste. And it was for me. When I was first introduced to this walking meditation, I didn't like it. But you can benefit from things you don't like if you do with them. And so the idea is to keep doing it. And then after a while, it takes a while, you get the hang of it. And now I love it. I think it's a wonderful practice. And I find it not only useful on retreat, but I also find it translates very nice into my daily life, where I do a lot of walking in my life. So the walking meditation has taught me how to be fully present and kind of settle in to my experience while I walk around town or even in my house sometimes. So it's a great practice to develop. The way we do it on retreat is we find a place to walk where we can walk back and forth that's about 20 or 30 paces long. The short distance in the meditation hall here, in the walking hall, is a nice distance to go. Something like that doesn't have to be very, very long. And the idea is to walk back and forth. Some people say, well, why can't I just walk around the building in a circle? And of course you can. Or why can't I just wander around aimlessly? Of course you can. But there's the simplicity of a walking back and forth supports a mind settling down and really kind of being present in a more optimal way. When you wander around, part of your mind is involved with the route and stepping over rocks or whatever and figuring out what's new sights. If you walk in a circle, it's continuous, and there's something about the continuity of walking just that you're less likely to notice your mind's drifted off in continuous thought. But if you walk back and forth and you have to turn around, pivot around, and that pivot time, that's a time where you're more likely to notice, oh, I've been lost in thought the last pass. And so you can reset and apply yourself again. So maybe 20 paces back and forth. The first thing to do when you start walking is to establish a pace that brings you a sense of ease. And everyone has a different pace, speed, which brings you a sense of ease. Generally, it's a pace that's a little bit slower than ordinary street walking pace, but it could be faster. My teacher in Burma, he power walked when he did walking meditation. You know, I'd have to run to keep up with him. But you know, he was just going back and forth, so if I just stood still, he'd come back to me. So just go back and forth, back and forth. And but something that brings you a sense of ease. And some of you, you know, some people have experience when they're really angry and furious about something, they'll go for a walk. And there's, I don't know if it's easeful to walk, but it's something that feels right or feels good to hold the energy of that, the pace that holds it is nice. And then once you kind of have a sense of your pace of ease, I call it, then begin settling your attention into the body and just experience the body. The body is really the primary reference points for waking up, being present. Come back into your body, feel the body walking, and there'll be a rhythmic flow of sensations as you walk, a changing sensation that has certain rhythm, alternation. And you start tuning into that. There's something about alternating sensations that makes it easier to get concentrated than a single point of unchanging focus. So the breathing, for example, is one of the reasons why breath is often encouraged, is because there's this rhythm of changing sensations. And somehow the mind can stay focused without getting tense when something is gently changing and flowing. When something is unchanging, people tend to strain more to kind of stay there and focus there. So the same thing with the alternating sensations of walking. As you get into it, the idea is to settle the attention down to the lower legs and the feet and be with the alternating sensations in the feet and the legs as you walk. If you're walking fast, you might just be aware of the sensations of the soles of the feet touching the ground. If you're walking slower, you might be aware of the lifting and the placing of the foot. If you're walking really slow, lifting, moving, placing. People who do this a lot or for personal reasons find it can be very nice to go really slow and then you can really be aware of all the subtleties of the sensation as you lift the foot up, as it moves through the space, as you put it down, touching the ground and shifting your weight. If you walk really slow, please do it because it feels right. There has been history in the ancient times of our tradition in America of competitive walking, because somehow walking slow is like, then you're really a good practitioner. So people would see who could walk the slowest. And you'd look at them, have they been walking at all? So there's no need to compete to be the slowest. You know, that the thing to reassure you is that everyone arrives in the present moment at the same time. So the but if you walk really fast, then maybe walk further away from the people who are walking slow. Like, don't walk really fast in the walking hall, perhaps. Maybe go outside. And so as you walk, you just kind of keep coming back to your body, keep coming back to your body. If your mind drifts off a lot in thought, then you might be useful to just stop, close your eyes, and to take stock of what's going on. Sometimes fully recognizing what's happening can help something settle. You're less likely to be pulled into those thoughts, and then you can start up again. As you walk back and forth, you can do, it's usually good to keep your eyes down at about 45 degrees to look where you're walking, but so you don't look around and don't get caught up in the sights around you. Sometimes the instructions are given to choose a place where there's not a lot of busy activity, or so you're not regularly pulled into the sights around you. You can do anything with your hands, that they both are doing the same thing. You can have your hands in your pockets, I often do. You can have your hands behind your back, fold your arms, have in front of you. In Zen, they put their hands together like this. And, you know, it's a nice way of walking. So just whatever is comfortable for you with your hands. So there are places to walk. You can walk in the walking hall next door here. You can walk in the corridors in the building here. You can walk down the community hall where we met yesterday afternoon. The decks outside, you can walk on the decks. The picnic deck area that's out by the woods there, and the overlooking the woods, you can park, you know, in the parking lot. People walk, you know, any place inside the property that you would like to walk, you're welcome to. So sometimes in our practice, we use thinking to help limit how much random thinking we do when we practice. And the way that's done is we use a very rudimentary thought, the most rudimentary thought you could possibly use in your mind. So you give your thinking mind something to do, because an idle mind gets in trouble. So you give it, you know, and the simple thing we do is called a mental note or a mental label. Very soft whisper in the mind. So if you're walking, for example, you might say, right, left, right, left as you walk. And the label is not so important that you say it, but it's just giving the mind a little bit something to do. So as I said, it doesn't wander off in thought a lot, so too easily. And it's also a little encouragement. It's like saying to yourself, stay right there on your right foot as it steps. Stay right there with the left foot. You can do it. Stay there. And it just reminds you to really connect there and feel it. If you walk slow, the classic instructions in Asia that we learned in Burma is you would say lifting, placing. Lifting, placing. Or lifting, moving, placing, if you walk really slow. So each phase of the step, you're there for each phase carefully. Each phase has its own quality of characteristics, and the idea is to really connect to the characteristics of each phase of the stepping as you get going into it. And there's a very subtle, soft whisper in the mind. Lifting, placing. Same thing with sitting meditation. Some people find it helpful to engage a thinking mind while you're sitting as well. So you could just say in, out. In when you're breathing in, out when you're breathing out. Or in Burma, the instruction was to say rising when you're breathing in, so you feel the rising of the belly or the chest, and then falling as you breathe out. So some people find that helpful. Last thing I'll say about walking meditation is that, I'll say two things. One is that walking meditation does not work whatsoever if you don't do it. And so you have to really kind of give yourself over to it. It takes a while to kind of get into it and find out how it works. But it also means that it's best to give yourself as big of a block of time as possible to do it during the walking period. So to try to avoid getting up and then, you know, going have a cup of tea and then start walking for 5 minutes and then go to pee and then come back and walk and then feel I need to really rest and lay down for And then you get up and then you walk for another 5 minutes. And then that's time for another cup of tea before I sit. And so then there's no continuity. It's better to take care of all the personal things you need to take care of at the beginning or the end of the walking period, so you have as big of a block of time as you can. It's kind of the principle that if you want to boil tea, you have to keep the flame on. You can't turn it on and off and on and off. Then the water won't boil. So to develop the mind in this practice, you want to keep the flame kind of going for as long as possible. So any questions about that? Any questions about walking meditation? Okay, so just one, so the next walking period, beginning of the next walking period, after the next sit, I'll stay here in the hall for those who would like to stay as well, and give instructions for the posture instruction. And if you've never had posture instruction, especially, please stay, and I'll give posture for sitting on the floor, and both sitting on the floor and sitting on the chair. And and maybe I'll give posture for standing meditation as well. Posture instructions. And as we've said it now a couple of times, but in case you didn't quite get it, if you find yourself really sleepy sitting here, you can just quietly, right in your place where you're sitting place, you can just stand during the sitting. You're the only one standing out. Everybody else is sitting. And that's okay. And you can continue your meditation, same meditation while you're standing. If you need to open your eyes, that's fine. But that tends to bring enough energy to keep people from falling asleep if they're really tired. It can be helpful. And then after a while, if you feel energized, you can come sit down if you'd like. Okay, great. Thank you.